LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. My name is Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. Now, our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview, and instantly or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, latalkradio.com. You're already on it if you're listening live. So you click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. You scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click the link. And this will take you directly to our archive page where you can view a list of past guests. Our show is also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. You just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there we are, tons of shows ever since 2008, still going strong. And if you want to find out about our future guests, you want to visit the official Question Reality website that also tells you how you too can be a guest on the show. We are currently booked until July, but we're open after that. I only like to book 6 months in advance. It's just too overwhelming to go a year, but you know, come check it out. You know somebody that's in the entertainment business, that's a professional, has some great advice to share, we would love to have them on the show. That official website is questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. And as always, we have a fantastic guest for you today. His name is Mason Glynn. He is an actor, a model, and he has tons of other titles, as everybody does when you come to California. You have to have at least 4 or 5 titles just to get some bread and butter. And we have him with us today. And his website, if you want to check that out while I'm going over some announcements, his website is masonglenn.com, masonglenn.com. He's also with the Straight Jacket Society, which is a little comedy troupe, and we'll tell you a little bit about that later. Actually, Mason will tell you about that, and that's StraightJacketSociety.com. Now, if you don't have a pen and paper, or you don't have your little notepad up or your little stickies, get them up because I am about to tell you about a fantastic workshop. So I'll give you 1 second. Okay, here we go. All right, so I am super excited about announcing this workshop. It's coming up on Thursday, March 10th from 7:15 to 9 p.m. Again, this Thursday, March 10th, 7:15 to 9 p.m., and it's at the Casting Workout. The Casting Workout, and that's located 741 North Cahuenga Boulevard. 741 North Cahuenga Boulevard in LA. And the casting director is Stacy Taylor Singerman, and she's from Go Casting. And the Go stands for Greg Orson. I'm not sure beginners know who he is, but if you've been working in the business a while, you'll know he casts for tons of stuff. This office is like really incredible. They cast for some of the top shows in town. The cost for this workshop is only $50. Again, this office casts for some of the best shows, and I am so excited because if you know me, everybody knows I am obsessed with the character of Damian Salvatore of the Vampire Diaries. Oh my God, every time I see him, I'm titillated, just titillated beyond belief. I have to hide my screensavers and my wallpaper because I'm like a 15-year-old when it comes to him. So I believe his name is Ian Somerhalder, but it's just too damn hard to pronounce. So I just call him Damian Salvatore. And, you know, this is, oh my God, this show is so awesome. And I am so guilty of watching all the teen shows. I don't know what's wrong with me. I guess I'm trying to recapture my youth, but I watch Greek and I watch 90210 and I watch, oh my God, Vampire Diaries and you name it. If there are young people on it, I am trying to recapture my youth. I'm just doing it. But this show is really awesome. So workshop cast for this particular show, again, it's one of the number one rated shows on the CW. And you gotta go to this workshop if you think that you are good enough to be cast on that show, which I'm sure you are. So they also have a wide range of characters, which is really awesome. You probably want to watch the show before you go on the audition to see if you're interested in this type of show. But I'm sure everybody knows what this show is about. This is, again, as I said, it's one of CW's highest rated television shows, and it's based, in case you don't know about it, but it's based on the book series about a woman that's torn between two vampire brothers, the good one and the evil one. I say, why can't you have both? One for the day, one for the night. I don't know. The series has a huge cult following. I guess I'm part of a cult. I didn't even know it. And it's quickly making the stars in the household names. I know I talk about Damian Salvatore at least 5 times a day. Me and my girlfriends were like, oh, did you see it? Did you see it? Yes, we did. They're also casting a new ABC family show. Melissa and Joey? Melissa and Joey. I believe they cast this office cast for them as well. And that show is about a family scandal that leaves Mel, a local politician, alone with her niece Lennox and nephew Ryder. And then she hires a man whose name is Joe, played by Joey. Go figure! I guess he might have forgotten his character's name so often they have to, you know, call him Joe, Joey, various versions of that, to become one of the family's male nannies. Or Manny. Oh, I think we had this happen with Who's the Boss. Now, I've never watched this show, but I do know that that's one of the top shows that they cast for. So, and they also have a ton of untitled couples projects. So, again, you should check this out. And if you book something on the Vampire Diaries, I'm expecting, if you heard it from me, I am expecting you to get a hair or something. Bodily part from Damian Salvatore and bring it to me. That is payment for hearing about the class this Thursday, March 10th from 7:15 to 9 p.m. And you can go to their website, thecastingworkout.com, or Google it. So their workshops are fantastic. I've heard really, really great things. I've personally never been to one of them, but a lot of my friends who are actors just say this is a really awesome workshop. So check it out. Now, on to the second thing. I wanted to tell you, I've gotten so many emails from people who were listening to the show that my friend Megan Foley was on of Megan Foley Casting, MeganFoleyCasting.com. She spoke of this website that she was on and how awesome it was for actors to find really great parts and also to get advice about what to do in their career, et cetera, et cetera. And just emails galore. So I want to give you that website address now for you to check out. It's alexsinfo.com, alexsinfo.com, alexsinfo.com. And again, it's a free daily email. It's an email resource guide for actors. It's like a newsletter and a website, and it has all this information and resources in the entertainment business, and it helps actors to help build their career. So a lot of tips. There's I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe there is a blog on there where this particular woman, Alex, goes out on auditions and she gives feedbacks on what's going on the audition. It could be going on for a couple. She'll say, oh, it's going on for a couple more days. Da, 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 da. So very important stuff for you to hear. So she's sharing this information and referrals about all kinds of products and services in and around Los Angeles. And she just really is very generous in spreading the knowledge to you as a working actor. So, you know, you got to take it where you can get it, because the acting profession is expensive and the actors deserve a break financially. So you got to take all of these websites that are offering this information and try to find more, more, more. You know, there's so many roads to travel to have a successful career in entertainment. So you need options, you need information, and acting, as you know, people, is a challenging profession. And it requires a commitment of the mind and the body and the spirit, as well as every damn cent you can get your hands onto or given by. And but you got to have a business intelligence. And that is what I always like to stress, business intelligence. And that's what I try to keep the premise of my show about. Not everybody can afford to go to acting school and business school at the same time. And I've always wanted to lend a hand in some way, and that's why I chose this particular venue to have people come on and show you that there are lots of different things that you can do, more creative ways. When you come out here to be an actor, you don't necessarily have to come out and be a waiter, a bartender, or do the traditional routes. There are many different careers that you can take. And this website, alexisinfo.com, really was created to help actors in all these areas. So I highly recommend that you check it out, as I found that it was a very worthy website when I went there. So moving on to our very last announcement, and speaking of what I just told you about, my friend Elisa Choice, who's also a casting director, she was listening to the show that Megan was on, from MeganFoleyCasting.com, and she we were talking about how we weren't sure what the current cost was of joining SAG. As you know, everybody, you know, or you may not know, everybody who's non-union thinks that to join SAG is like entering the gates of heaven. Well, as you know, in life, there is a price for everything. Nothing is ever free. The air is barely becoming free of charge. If somebody finds a way to tax us for air, we're going to get taxed. Well, SAG, I found out, Alicia emailed me and said that it is now the cost, if you are lucky enough to become SAG eligible, you want to make that decision whether or not becoming SAG is right for you. We talked about that on the show. But the cost, you better have this along with your decision to enter SAG. It is $2,277 plus the first semi-annual basic dues payment of $58. Oh my God, you better start prepping your organs for extraction now, because I'm telling you, I don't know. Thank God that I think when I joined it was like $1,400 and I was having a cow over that. Like, what the hell's going on? I don't know what they do with the dues. I don't know. When I first joined, I used to actually get around November or December, I used to get CDs from them, or DVDs from them, about the shows that were going to be nominated for Oscar nominated shows. I don't get a damn thing now. It's like, what happened to, at least I used to get a DVD. I get nothing now. Nothing. So I don't want to talk about it. We can get into that whole union versus non-union thing, which is a really big issue now in the news, but we're not going to do it. We are going to go into our friend today that is with us. Now, speaking of, you know, I usually have a ton of people who are professional celebrities, Academy Award winners, various award winners, and on the show, but I'd like to really mix it up. I like to bring people on the show that is from the other end of the spectrum, people who are just starting out, because I want you to hear about their trials and tribulations, things that are happening with them, so you can really hear what a person's going through who may have just come out here, and they're going to tell you about it. And this person is just such a person. His name is Mason Glenn. And Mason is a small time. Oh, I'm getting ready to call him a small time crook from Georgia. No, he's a small town boy from Georgia. When I say boy, I mean boy. He's a young guy from Georgia, and he recently moved to Los Angeles, of course, to pursue his dream of working in the entertainment industry. And his love of show business started at the age of 7 when he began working in live theater. And he continued to hone his craft by attending various acting classes. And what's just, I thought was an interesting fact, the day after graduating college, Mason moved to L.A. So it's like, woo, see ya. And he is like a bullet out of there. So since he arrived, he's worked as a model, an actor, production coordinator, photographer's assistant, casting assistant, production assistant. He's been an extra, and he's open to anything that keeps bread and butter on the table, as long as it's legal and respectable, of course, because he's such a good boy from Georgia. I can vouch for that. And currently, Mason can be seen on numerous music videos, independent features, and is working on a pilot for CBS. He is a proud member of the Straight Jacket Society, which I told you about earlier. It's a local sketch comedy group located in Hollywood. And Mason firmly believes that one can gather information by being consumed in all aspects of the entertainment industry, which is something that I absolutely believe 150%. A lot of people don't agree. They say you need to focus on one thing, your craft, and only focus on that, because you can't be good if you keep darting around and doing all these different things. So two different trains of thought. I happen to be a Mason agreeer. Maybe we can talk a little bit about Mason's perspective on that. So without further ado, we are going to learn more about his little trials and errors as a new actor in LA, and we're going to find out, like, how do you supplement your income while you pursue an acting career? Again, there's many different types of jobs, and hopefully we will ask him, how did he learn the ropes quickly, and how do you do it and not waste time? Lots of things. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Get your pen and paper if you haven't done so already. We are going to talk to Mason right now. How are you, Mason Glenn?
I'm so good. Thanks, Priscilla, so much for that lovely introduction. You're too kind. Oh, my gosh. It's so exciting to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, you are welcome, my Mason Glenn. Now, I like to start with the question that I try to ask everybody every show, because it's very important to know where you come from. So what did you want to do or be professionally when you were a child? I know that we talked about at 7 years old you discovered live theater, but did you want to be anything before that, or you didn't know what the hell was going on until you discovered live theater, and that's when the world became crystal clear?
Oh, well, I think maybe when I first started out, theater was just something fun. It was just something creative. My father had done like some DJing and stuff when he was a radio show host, and working for sports and stuff like that. And that kind of was like, I got the creative side of my dad, and I really wanted to do something that was fun. So about, like, you know, first, second grade, I started doing little things here and there, and it just kind of sparked. And then I just kind of, like, you know, I didn't really take it seriously probably until like high school. But for the longest time, I wanted to be a pediatrician, and then I wanted to be a criminal investigator, and then a forensic scientist, and I wanted to be a news anchor, and I finally, in college, settled with marital studies, like in psychology. So it's kind of just like all over the place. Just didn't know my direction, but, you know, finally it kind of finally came down to acting in the entertainment business.
And what do you think was when did you have the epiphany that it was definitely acting as opposed to all those other things? And I love that you pointed out that you wanted to be all different kinds of people or have professional careers, because a lot of people come on the show and I don't know if it's that they're embarrassed to admit it or maybe I was like you. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. I wanted to do this. It's because there are so many great careers out there. I mean, Right. Why not at least have a curiosity about them? And then you should always be thinking about a backup profession.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Of course. But what was your epiphany where you narrowed it down and said, this is it. I want to be an actor.
I think it was probably my senior year of high school. I thought about it for a while, and I went into college thinking, you know, I'm gonna try being. I changed my major like four times, and finally I just stayed. I was like, psychology, that sounds okay. And then it's like you don't want to go with something that you're just okay with. And I said, what really inspires me? What really constantly wants me to grow as a person, and really constantly have a career that I can develop myself into? And finally, it was just like I had to say to myself, you know, it's acting. You know, that's what makes me happy. That's what really allows me to excel both as a person and as a person in my career of choice. So I really, really knew that probably about, you know, my senior year, maybe summer, you know, going into my first year of college. I'd probably say that was probably the most pivotal point.
So, well, that's good that you caught it before you went into college, not before. Then you can kind of, you know, acclimate to your major. Now, what steps, once you decided, what steps did you take towards that career goal? Tell us all the steps that you took.
Well, like, I really knew that, I mean, it was going to be a long road, and I knew it wasn't going to be easy, and I knew I had to be patient. So I really had to just get that out of the way first. Like, I knew it wasn't going to be like, you know, a month later, I was going to be happy, settled in, have a job, everything. No. So what I probably first did is I took like two exploratory trips before I actually moved out here. A couple of my friends lived out here, so they let me stay with them. So that also, you know, saved me some money in that aspect. And then I really just wanted to explore the area. I mean, LA is so different from where I live. I mean, my parents, like, or my mom just closes her eyes when she comes out here, because the traffic and the people, it's just so, everything is so compacted. I really wanted to find a place to live. I wanted to find a job, and I wanted to find some sort of creative avenue for like doing an acting class or a workshop or something. Like I wanted to have something. So those are probably like the three main bullet points that I really wanted to get to take with me before I actually left back home to Georgia. That was probably the most pivotal things that really helped me out, taking those two exploratory trips.
And did you do that before you entered college or while you were?
While I was in college, yes.
While you were in college. Okay. So when you went to college, did you automatically major in theater or film?
I did not, because I was like theater. It's like, it's kind of like theater and TV and film. They're all fruits, but they're apples and oranges. It's like an apple doesn't taste like an orange. And theater acting is, to me, in my opinion, a lot more open. It's a lot more because you're very expressive, because like you're performing it in front of a live stage, in front of an audience. So you have to be kind of a little bit bigger. Whereas like TV and film is a lot more, you know, a lot more internal. It's a lot more with your, you know, with the internalness of like the eyes and of, I mean, you can go into character work for, you know, ever.
Right.
But,
right.
Mostly, so it's just like it's two different things. So I had to make a choice. I was like, do I want to do theater, or do I want to do something I'm comfortable with, or do I want to just do something that makes me happy? And it turned out to be film and TV really, really made me happy, because I found I was learning so much more. You know, some people will beg to differ. Some people feel the exact opposite, and that's fine. You know, because that's what everybody's different. Everybody works certain ways, and they learn different ways. But that's what really, really helped me out mostly.
Now, how did you know? That's a very good point you brought up, because a lot of people that I talk to are still conflicted whether to go into focusing on theater or film. I say, why not do both if you like it? But some people feel too overwhelmed by doing one or the other. So how did you make that decision where you said, you know, I want to focus more on film? What was it about theater that made you make that decision? Was it that it was exhaustive? You know, it take so much energy? What was it that
made mostly you- I was a musical guy, so I did tons of musicals growing up, you know, middle school and high school. And with the aspect of a musical, it's not just lines, it's choreography, it's blocking, it's, you know, positioning, it's, you know, the list goes on and on. It's just exhausted me so much. It is very tired. I mean, hats off to people that do that, that for 2 months at a time. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I probably had 4 or 5 months to, you know, get my, you know, my crap together. Whereas, like, you know, people who are professionally doing this have, like, you know, a matter of a month, maybe a month and a half, and then they have to do this run for 2 months. It's like, oh my gosh, like, how do these people do it?
Plus
so, I find it a little less. I find it a little less stressful for me. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Plus, they're getting paid, right, Mason?
Yes.
That's the difference between community theater and real. Yeah, that's
right. They're actually getting it done. They're doing it professionally, much more professional than I am.
Oh, my God. I know. When I was in theater, but, you know, when I – because my background is in theater, of course, and I didn't realize that it took up so much time.
Yeah, even after rehearsals.
Yeah. There's before, there's during, and then there's after. By the time you get to opening night, you need a multitude of pills to get you through.
Or some shots of liquor or something to loosen you up a little bit.
Need an enhancer. It really is, but it is not, theater is not for everyone. However, in my personal opinion, theater acting, if you want that live instant response, if you want that gratifying feeling, then theater is for you, because film is definitely not something where you're going to get an instant gratification, an instant high that you get from doing theater. So
that's
one of the differences, of course, in my opinion. Now, I really love that you were so organized. You're such a young person, and yet you had the mind to be able to say, oh, you know, I got to plot out what's going on. I want to go out there. I want to check out how I'm going to get a job. I mean, you did all the steps that I would personally recommend, or anyone who had a good business mind would recommend doing. Was this influenced by your parents? Did they tell you to do that? I mean, is that what you learned from them?
Well, no, you know, I've always been kind of like a little OCD and a perfectionist in a way, and I always have to have a plan with everything. My mom, I take after with that. My dad's a lot more easygoing than my mom, but my mom always, you know, when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old, she was a teacher, and we would have a chart. My older brother and I would have a chart, and if we brushed our teeth, if we made our bed, we would put a star on our chart, and we would get, you know, 25 cents. You know, $5 was so much when you're like 6 and 7 years old. And I think that's actually the moment that it started enveloping me, that, you know, to be organized, to have my bed made, to have a plan, to have, you know, certain things that I had to do before this day was up, you know, to make it a successful day.
Mother's way of parenting, and that's why you turned out to be such a good boy. She was doing the super nanny techniques before there was a super nanny. That's exactly the same behavior and discipline that the show The Super Nanny says to incorporate in order to get your child prepared for the world. So
yeah,
there was Super Nanny before there was one. So
yeah, I still kind of be like, you were crazy growing up, and I was like, and I kind of liked it too.
Those are such great parents to have. So you were very fortunate. Not everybody.
I was very, very fortunate. I had, you know, parents that, you know, they, when they first knew that I was going to move out, I don't know, I kind of felt like they didn't take me seriously, but then they know, because I was so tenacious and stubborn, that I don't take no for an answer. And so I was just like, you know, I am moving out, like, you know, and finally they realized that that's what made me happy the most. It's like being in Georgia in like this box, this proverbial like bubble. I needed to get out of that bubble, and I need to experience not only like life outside of my box, but just, you know, my career outside of my box. That's another thing that I kind of like did before I moved out here. I really wanted to like envelop myself in the Atlanta market, or my local acting market. And I had some friends who actually were head casting directors, and they do most of the extras casting and the stand-in casting for the Southeast. And the, you know, the Southeast is booming right now with films shooting there because it's cheaper, because it's tax breaks.
Keep in mind, Vampire Diaries doesn't that shoot
yes.
in Georgia?
I'm pretty sure actually. I mean, some of this, it might film in LA too, but I know it's filmed some episodes in Georgia. It looks very Georgian to me, because yeah. I do watch The Vampire Diaries too. It's not a bad show, I'm not going to lie. Like it's okay, you know. I love that main actress girl. I think her name is Alina DeBev. She's great. I saw her in Degrassi when I was growing up, that show before Vampire Diaries, and she was great in that. So.
Now, have you actually done any extra work on Vampire Diaries?
No, I wish I have. I don't do too much extra work now, but I definitely recommend extra work for people who are first starting out, because A, you know, it's a full 12-hour day on set. You know, it's the whole hurry up and wait aspect. But you know what? It's like when you first start out, it's so fascinating. It's like, and then you get to see, if you're fortunate enough to get by the actors, you get to see, like, by example, you know, how are the cameras set up? How are the actors saying their lines? It's like, how are they taking direction well? It's like, and as you know, you're kind of like that kind of inside spy, if you will, of a movie set.
Absolutely. You and I are set again in that. And I tell people, some people have the nerve to frown their nose and look down on being an extra. If they had a good mind, they would know that that is the best apprentice job.
Oh, my gosh. And you get paid. I mean, you get paid and you get free food and you get to, you know, eat until you pop. It's like amazing.
I mean, you can see, you can be on the set, and you have to be absorbing it. You have to be soaking it in. You got to look at the cameraman and how they set up the lights, and you
yes.
watch the actors, how they – I mean, this is the best training you could get. I say be an extra as long as you possibly can.
Right.
You know, while taking your acting classes and doing your workshops, but that is the best training ever. But a lot of people do not have the mind to be able to absorb that. They look down on that. And those are the people that, you know, I say, well, you're going to have a short career in show business because you can't absorb that fact. But see,
right.
there's a difference between people wanting to be a people come out here and there's a difference between being a celebrity and a star. You know,
yeah.
some people want to come out here and they just want to shoot to the top and they want to be something which is going to fast track them to the red carpet. And then there are other people who are really interested in the art and the craft. And those are the people that love being an extra. So I'm so glad that you said that. That is absolutely, absolutely something that you people need to realize. Extras. Actually, they're not called extra anymore. They're called background
actors.
They've upgraded them. They've upgraded them. And with good, you know, without the background people, you can't have a show.
Right. Right.
You know, people don't realize that. Some stars don't even realize that. But, you know, it's very, very true. Now, let's talk about when you moved out of here, what kind of jobs have you taken to supplement your income and be able to afford your dream career classes and tools that you need?
You know, there are so many things. I am all about freelancing. You know, find something that you're really good at and sell it to people. As long as it's legal, of course. You know, I don't want people to take that the wrong way, because you know, your humor. It's like people are going to be like emailing you like crazy.
Yeah, but
anyway, I am all about freelancing. A friend of mine, I will probably quote her book a couple of times. Her name's Bonnie Gillespie, and she wrote Self-Management for Actors. Great book. I recommend it. I think it's like $20 on Amazon. It's like over 500 pages of such great, great information revolving around, you know, the casting process, survival jobs, how to get around in LA, you know, booking the job, you know, things out to watch for. So good, so informational. So the thing that she really stresses was freelancing, and I totally stress that as well. Just find something that you're good at. When I was in college, I did Spanish tutoring, and so I was really good at that, and I actually worked in, like, the foreign language lab, and then I kind of carried that over with me to L.A. So I would, you know, go to people's houses, or, like, you know, they would come over, and I would teach them Spanish for an hour, and that was something that was supplemental income for me. I also wanted to find something. I worked for a very popular coffee company that offered me health benefits that was really flexible. It was decent pay. It was stable hours. And I worked for them for over 4 years. a lot of people, and a lot of people with the extending on the freelancing aspect, a lot of my friends are nannies. So they'll be like babysitters or nannies. And oh my gosh, like everybody in every, especially girl in LA, it seems like has a nannying job because it's so easy. It's like you stay at the parent's house. You know, the parents want to go out for like a Friday or Saturday night. You know, yeah, you sacrifice, you know, your weekend, but you know, it's worth it. It's easy money, you know? I mean, a lot of people, they tend to do the whole like waiting tables thing, which I think is a little cliche, you know, and to me, it's like, I don't want to have a job that would stress me out. And I feel like a lot of my friends who are servers, they're constantly trying to scrape up their money. I mean, this is not for everybody, of course, but I would say, you know, most of, I can speak for just my friends only. You know, it's just like, you know, a Saturday night, they can make $200, you know, one Sunday they can make, you know, 50 because they haven't had as many tables. It's like that idea of like not having a stable income and kind of on the whim relying on that is not good at all.
No.
'Cause it will stress you out so much and you don't want to do that.
Right.
As far as like doing jobs in the entertainment industry, like PA work, a lot of my friends are PA, you know, that's another way that you can grab money. You know, you get probably a little bit more than an extra would, but it's great set experience. You get to learn like behind the scenes. I mean, it's, you know, you could work on a show for like up to a month being a PA. You know, you're kind of like, as a PA, you know, most PAs will probably agree to say that, you know, you're kind of like the step above the extras, like you're kind of important, but, you know, you kind of keep the roles, the wheels rolling for everyone else.
Right.
You're kind of the basis of everything. But to me, that's, you know, that's another job that, you know, a lot of people do out here. You just, like I said, I can't stop stressing. I can't, you know, can't stress enough that you just want a job that's not going to stress you out so much.
Yes.
You know, because you're out here to be an actor. You don't want to have that be distracting, or you don't want to take that stress with you in a casting office or to an audition room. So you just want to make something that is flexible for you, but you can really still rely on that base of payment. I think Bonnie, she, in her book, she said a really good thing. She says, avoid the golden handcuffs of a permanent job. And I think that's so golden, because if you're out here and you have, you know, a 9-to-5 job, it's like, where's that dream that you're thinking? It's like, do you want to be, you know, a doctor or a lawyer? Are you going to work for some firm, or do you want to be an actor? It's like, you have to like make that differentiation really quickly. And that's kind of what I found out, you know, in regards to like jobs and whatnot.
Wow, you know, that is so, so true. And again, as I said initially, you gotta be creative, think outside the box if you don't want to do the typical waiter, bartender thing. There are so many different things you can do. Really, you can do so many things. Look for the little obscure jobs. There's lots of jobs that you can look for. Again, if you check out alexisinfo.com, there are some jobs there. There are lots of websites where you can do jobs that you don't have to work full time. Very important. Now, what do you feel are some of the do's or don'ts when pursuing a career in show business?
You know what? I would probably say don't get distracted. You know, constantly remind yourself of your purpose. Like, why are you out in LA? I mean, it's easy to go out just, you know, to a bar or to some crazy show or whatever. And, you know, it's so expensive to live out in LA. I mean, like, to go out in LA, like, I don't go out. I'm such like a freaking grandpa. It's insane. You know, I go to bed at 10, I wake up at 6. Like, I'm like not your typical like mid-20s guy in LA. I'm so boring. But anyway, I would say most people tend to do that. And I mean, like, you know, by the time you're paying for a cover charge of $20, you know, you go out and you buy, you know, drinks for you and your friends. That's like, you know, $100, and then like maybe you get something to eat afterwards. You know, it's like you've already blown $150 like on one night. It's like, just think what you could do with that to supplement your career, as opposed to just having, you know, everybody needs to have fun every once in a while. You just don't want to get it to make it consume your life in LA. And it's so easy to do out here because it's so readily available out here. I would probably say do spend at least 30 minutes to an hour a day on your craft, whether it be an acting class, you know, submitting yourself to submissions, you know, doing research, reading a book about acting, you know, finding something that's going to better you as an actor. I would say do work for free when you start out. You know, student films are the best for this because the pressure is lessened. You know, the upcoming directors and the producers, you know, they're learning as well just as much as you are. So I would probably say, like, when I first started out, I worked on this very short film. You know, it was a silent film, but it was so cool because the director was so good. And he was like, Mason, what would you do? What would your character do? It's like, because he's learning as a director as well as you're learning as an actor, because you're trying to figure out, you're trying to get into this world and this guy's head as a character. And that was so great for me when I first started acting out here, to book those like free student films or whatnot. I would probably say, you know, make a priority to educate yourself as well. It's kind of like the analogy. It's like, you know, a doctor goes to medical school to pursue a career in medicine or, you know, whatnot. And if you're an actor, like, do make it a priority to make it in that month, to find an acting class, to go to a casting director workshop, you know, do something creative that's going to supplement your creativity and your dream of being out here.
Right.
You know, I always find out, you know, everybody has these specific acting coaches that are like, you know, with the names and stuff out here. It's like I audited at least 5 classes before I found the one that was right for me. It's like some people tend to do, you know, the more method acting, and some people just like the scene study aspect. You just have to find what's going to be best for you. It's like what's always popular is not always right. So you just have to find the right thing that works for you the most. And I find there's a lot of my friends who they think coming out here, you know, without having any prep work, they expect everything just to work itself out, which I think is a whole bunch of bull crap. Because when you go and make a huge move, it's like you can't just, you know, fly by the seat of your pants and hope for the best, because those are the people normally that are broke within like 2 months and they have to go back home. It's like being unprepared before you move out here, it will stress you out, and it will, I would say 9 times out of 10, it will never work. You really, really have to prepare yourself for, like, you know, I guess me coming from a small town, it was even more of a surprise to me to realize, like, how much talent there is out here. It's like you go from your small hoedown town of, you know, my lovely Oakwood, Georgia, and then it's like, and you think that you're like, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I've studied a lot. You know, I've booked some couple things here and there. You know, I think I'm pretty good. I'm ready for L.A. And then you go into the room and you witness these actors who've been doing it 2-3 times as long as you are, and they blow you away. So it's so easy for you to be intimidated and let that affect you, but you just have to go into a casting office, be proud of what you do, know that you do good work, and that hopefully that will reflect, you know, upon a booking or a job or something. But yeah, that's probably like mostly the do's and don'ts I would probably say coming out here.
Absolutely, 100%. It's like you and I are of like mind. We were split as a pea. We were split.
I love that.
Absolutely. I cannot tell you how thrilled I am that such a young person agrees with everything that I stand for. And it's really good to hear that there are some people in their 20s that are as intelligent and intuitive as you are. You got it going on, brother man. So we've got a couple minutes, but I want to find out what I love to get this out, because everybody thinks they can be an actor, but not everybody has the characteristic traits to do this. And it is, as I say, with everything, you got to be able to have the characteristic traits to do that job. It is not for everyone. Just like I couldn't be a doctor because I hate needles. But so what characteristic traits do you think or you feel it takes to be successful in the entertainment industry?
I would probably say being stubborn and tenacious. Like, you have to have like this. There's a way to be composed in yourself and have this, like, I will not accept no for an answer. It's like I've probably had, you know, 9.5 no's out of, you know, a half yes in, like, you know, in the 10 auditions that I've been on. You know, it's that much of a low percentile, because it's not just, you know, the way you say the lines. It could be the way you look. I mean, and that's, you know, Bonnie also in her book really stresses type. You know, you really have to know your type. Everybody can't be a leading man. Everybody can't be this, you know, buxom, beautiful, tall blonde with, you know, gorgeous eyes and everything. Nobody can, you know, everybody can't do that. So you have to know your type. I would probably say being goal-oriented too. You know, every year I set a career goal for a realistic career goal to myself. This year, actually, it's just a book like an under 5 role, like to have under 5 means like in TV, or it could be called a day player in film. Just to have that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines, you know, maybe the main character comes to the convenience store. The convenience store clerk says, you know, that'll be $5.50. And then, you know, the main character leaves. Like, that's a realistic goal for me, especially like me being, you know, just at a beginner still. Like, I've been out here for, you know, a little over 3.5 years now, but you really have to, like, have that goal for yourself. You know, maybe it's to, you know, to go out on 5 auditions and feel like you've done a good job. You know, you have to, wherever you're at in your career, you have to set a goal for yourself. And saying, and like, outlandish than that. You just have to be realistic. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, we can't, you know, be like Cameron Diaz, who was walking on the side of a street in Vegas, and then, you know, she books the mask 2 weeks later. It's like everybody, you know, that's a one, you know, that's so lucky. You know, everybody can't be that instant gratified, you know, actor right away who has the look, who has the talent. You know, you just have to be realistic about everything, you know.
That, you know, it's a good, I want to stop you there because that's a really good point that you brought up. But you, what I have found is that a lot of people who come out here are not realistic.
Right.
They really do believe that they are so good looking that when they walk into an office, that the casting person's going to immediately swoop them off and they're going to have that Cameron Diaz experience.
Right.
So how does a person who thinks like that, has a mindset, how can they be realistic? I mean, that's like a catch-22 situation.
In response to that question, I would probably say I've had casting director workshops, and sometimes I'm just kind of like, hey, what do they see in my headshot? You know, my headshot is my business card. It's like I want to make sure that it looks nice and it's presentable. It's not printed on, you know, regular paper, and I didn't, you know, go to Walgreens and print it off. Like, you want to make sure it's like your business card is your headshot. So I give them my headshot, and sometimes they'll be nice, and sometimes, you know, they'll just want to be kind of very, you know, to themselves and, like, to the point and succinct, and that's it. But I was just like, what's my type? Like, looking at my picture, what do you think I am? And they would tell me, and that would kind of give me an honest opinion about what my type is.
Absolutely. I cannot. Oh, God, Mason, I just want to pinch your little cheeks right now, because it is so important that when you go to these casting director workshops, one of the things that kind of bug me about them, I mean, I recommend them highly, that they're mandatory. I mean, if you're not going to them, you're not doing your part in pursuing them.
I mean, it's like $40-$50
a $40-$50
director.
Exactly.
It's like why not? It's like, you know, if I didn't have a casting director workshop, it's like if I took a meeting with like an agent or a manager or something, I would do the same thing. I'll be like, where do you see me in this headshot?
Exactly.
So that way it kind of really gives me an idea. So I'm like, you know, am I the comedic guy, or am I, you know, the leading
right.
man guy? Or am I kind of like in between? It's like,
yes.
What do I really need to concentrate on?
Yes.
It's like everybody, when they come out here first as an actor, they're like, I want to be everything. I can do everything. You know, Bonnie also touches on the subject in her book as well. It's just so funny to me how people feel like that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, they think they're the lead actor and they're they're character actors. But a lot of actors, I've gone to these workshops and I find that they'll go and pay their $40-$50 and then they just sit there. And, you know, you're not always, I'm going to tell you people now, you're not always going to go into a casting director workshop and have a really great casting director.
Right.
In my definition, which is somebody who gets up there and has a question and answer group where you can ask questions, and then you get up there and they give you feedback and they let you do it again and again. That's a great casting workshop when they have,
so good.
But not all of them do that. Some of them, and if you go for the first time, you could be very disillusioned and you may say, oh, that's bullshit. I'm not wasting my hard-earned $40-$50, because a lot of times you go to these workshops and you just go up there, you do your scene, and they say, that was great, thanks. And that's all you get for your $40-$50. That is it. Yeah.
And sometimes that happens. That's happened a lot to me. You know, they're just like, thank you so much. And I was like, okay, cool. I mean, like, obviously it's like, you know, you may like wow them and they just like, oh, I don't have anything for you. And then sometimes, you know, casting directors will give you so much direction. They'll let you do it two, three times. And that's so great. Such a learning experience. I love and embrace that criticism.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you'll have that awesome casting director. This happens very rarely, but they'll actually email you if you have like your email, like on your resume or something. And they'll be like, you know what, Mason, you did a great job. And I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's all that we'll say. And those are the casting directors that you want to stay in contact with, because they see you as a person. You know, people feel like when they come out here and they come into an audition room, they automatically put casting directors on this pedestal. And I myself is completely in this group, because when I first moved out here, it's like I kind of feel like the casting director was like this person that was just, you know, judging me as soon as I walked in the door. In a way they are, but it's kind of like with their eyes, and it's like you get into your head, you're like, oh my God, they hate me already, and then you start getting nervous and everything.
Yes.
But to me, like, if you go into your room and you see the casting director and you automatically think that they're your friend, that really just like helped me out. That just like clicked with me.
Yes, and you can, and that's what I'm saying. If you're paying $40 or $50, and this is a great casting director, one that does a Q&A session before, take advantage of that and ask all of the questions. There are so many casting directors that don't do that, and you're going to get up there, pay your $40, $50, and they're going to say, "Oh, that was great, thanks." So you know what you do? After that session, you go march your ass right up to them and you say, "Can you please take a look at this headshot? Tell me, can you tell me what character you see me as? Am I
right.
a character actor? You know, get up there and get your $40 or $50 worth." Right?
Exactly. I mean, sometimes, you know, casting directors are so nice and they'll allow you to, you know, they'll allow you to talk to them like that. And sometimes, yeah. you know, they're just succinct and that's just how it is. You don't need to take it personally.
Exactly.
That's just how
you
it is. You know,
you
that's
can't.
Just how LA is.
You can't. You got to just like when you choose anybody in your life, you got to choose someone who you're compatible with, and you're not going to be compatible with every single casting director. So if you go to a workshop, you don't like their style, go to another one. There are tons in this town.
Oh, there's so many. Yeah, in this town.
You have a ton to choose from. So, oh my God, it is 5:50. That means it's time to go, and I'm just so sad because we had a couple more questions, but may I ask you to come back on and be our regular traveling actor so that we can pursue your career goals?
Oh, my gosh. I would be so humbled and flattered for that.
Oh,
thank you, Priscilla.
Oh, my God. Well, thank
of course.
You. So that's it. We are going to travel through Mason's career. He will be a star, and he is going to be our
yeah, whatever.
He's going to be a celebrity, a star, anything he wants to be. So we're going to have him back on the show maybe later on this year or the beginning of next year and find out what's going on with Mason Glenn at masonglenn.com. Thank you, everybody. Say bye, Mason.
Bye, guys. Thanks so much.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.